This is The Guardian.
Today, the catastrophic cost of the wildfires in Greece.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
So we probably arrived around 10, 11 at night. And the first thing we noticed is it was really hot, like in the 30s in the evening. And we were like, oh gosh, this is what it's going to be like in the evening. What is it going to be like in the daytime? But yeah, so, you know, arrived in the hotel and just looked forward to the following day.
Musarat Dar was on holiday in Rhodes last week with her partner and their children. After months of tight work deadlines, A-levels and university exams, they'd been really looking forward to relaxing.
So we were always like in the pool and we'd arranged to do some diving. One of those glass bottom boats where you can jump off and see fish. So looking forward to enjoying the holiday and the weather.
Tourists like Musarat are vital to Greece's economy. Around 25% of the country's income comes from tourism. And British tourists are especially keen on the islands. We visit in our millions every year to enjoy the delicious food, the landscapes, the hospitality and the weather.
A fierce heat wave is gripping parts of Europe with temperatures reaching more than 40 degrees Celsius.
But over the past few weeks, the temperatures across Greece and the whole of southern Europe have risen to being unbearable. In some places, 44 degrees Celsius, a heat wave that climate scientists have said this week would have been impossible if it weren't for human-made climate change. In Rhodes, as in many places across southern Europe, wildfires are raging.
By Friday, we woke up to smelling burning.
Coming from that direction, the wind is really strong, so it's blowing it up the hill.
And I'd say by late afternoon, the sky was just very hazy. Previously it'd been very clear and blue.
And we've now lost electricity to our hotel.
And at that time, I was concerned and my daughter actually was scrolling on the internet and she said to me, Mum, it's 5 kilometres away.
Musarat and her family were faced with a choice. To stay in their hotel and hope that the wildfire would be brought under control, or to try and find a way to leave the island.
Wildfires are burning out of control on the island of Rhodes.
And by this time we had seen on the news in our room that further down people had been evacuated and people were running to the beach.
Please, this way!
Musarat says their holiday rep told them to stay calm and stay put.
And by late afternoon, ash was falling on us. I had this real surreal memory of that evening because we went and ate our food in the taverna of the hotel. It had Greek music playing in the background. And in the near distance, we had darkening clouds and this red horizon.
So that is a fire in the distance.
And ash falling on us, on our food, on our clothes, in our drinks. And it felt like we were eating our last supper.
That evening, the emergency message went out. The fire was spreading in their direction and everyone would need to evacuate as soon as possible. Musarat and the other hotel guests got on coaches and they were driven to a school where they'd stay for the next few days.
Just arriving in a bit of a daze. found a cast room, sat on some of the chairs, and just tried to process what had just happened and what we just saw.
More than 20,000 people have been evacuated from their homes and from resorts as the wildfires have spread across the south of Rhodes in recent days. Thousands more on the islands of Evia and Corfu. And travel companies have been scrambling to arrange flights to take tourists home. But for those who live in Rhodes, it's the start of a long, expensive recovery.
It's very, very bad, the situation. We need help. Send us help from everywhere.
From The Guardian, I'm Hannah Moore. Today in Focus, a week of devastating wildfires in Rhodes. Rachel Hall, you're a reporter for The Guardian and you're in Rhodes at the moment. You've been there all week. How close have you got to the wildfires?
On Tuesday morning, we were able to get quite close. There was a police roadblock preventing people from going through the road that was running through the middle of the fires, but they let us go through and there was a few sort of photographers and press people there. And we could see the firefighters battling the blaze. It was sort of popping up in different places. It seemed a bit like no sooner would they get one bit under control that you would spot another blaze appearing on the hillside. There were also propeller planes that had gathered seawater that were coming, just a constant stream of them dumping the water on some of the larger blazes, as well as the kind of conventional fire trucks and hoses. And it was just full of smoke. It seemed like, you know, they had the situation as under control as you could kind of hope in that sort of scenario. It didn't seem like it was completely wild, and it was in a fairly sort of confined area that we were able to see. But definitely with the strong winds, the blazes, when they did ignite, they would move and grow quite rapidly.
What's it actually like to be breathing that air?
Yeah, very smoky. I was coughing a bit afterwards. It was quite an oppressive environment that your eyes stung and you could feel it sort of going into your lungs. Some people were wearing masks or other sort of protective items. But yeah, definitely not a very nice place to be. I really felt for the firefighters. It's also 35 degrees here, so everything just kind of contributes to this feeling of being in an inferno.
Just give us a sense of where these wildfires are on the island.
Mm-hmm. So definitely some from the impression I've got from talking to some people that they saw YouTube videos and they thought the whole island was ablaze, but actually it's a pretty big island. It takes more than 2 hours to cross it. And the northern end, which is where the airport is, which is where Rhodes Town is, which is where Faliraki, which is a very popular tourist destination, is, that's all completely unaffected by the fires. So we drove from, so Rhodes Town is the top of the end. It took us about an hour to get to the point in the southeast where the fires are at the moment. And they're now kind of in the central mountains. There's two separate blazes and then the smaller blazes within that. But you can see as you're driving along, I mean, the island is essentially two coast roads that join up. And you can see as you're driving along the coast road, all the blackened buildings, there's ash everywhere, burned out trees and so on in that coastal area, which is right next to the beach, which is where all the tourists would have been in the hotels that were evacuated. So the fires have moved away from those places and we could see people starting to return. Some of the tavernas were open, although I understand there've still been some issues with power in the area. So there was a bit of a sense of normality returning, but in this kind of slightly surreal sort of lunar landscape.
There are between 7,000 and 10,000 British tourists in Rhodes, many of whom are being directly affected by the wildfires. What kinds of things have the people that you've been speaking to told you about what it's been like for them over the past few days?
Yeah, I think the people who were in the hotels in the areas which the wildfires actually reached, I think some of them found it quite a scary experience.
We went out for dinner and then we were walking back from dinner past the beach and you could see across the bay like
the flame.
Yeah, just like it was like red and you could like actually see each like individual flame. And we were like, oh, maybe this is getting a bit serious.
We were about to go for a swim.
And as we were discussing that, we got an alert through on our phones to evacuate.
So there's a bit of a range of experiences, but for some people, they did really come very close to the fires.
I've been speaking to a woman called Musrat, who's from the West Midlands, and she was on holiday in Rhodes with her family until last week. They got evacuated to a school. And I know there are similar emergency centres being set up across the island, and you've been to one of them. Can you give us a sense of what they're like? You know, how are they running? Who's volunteering there, and what's the atmosphere like?
Well, so they're being run by largely by local people, by local volunteers.
Could you give me your full name?
My name is Theodora Hatsianu.
And what you're doing here?
I'm originally from Rhodes. I grew up here, but I'm here on holidays from New York.
But, and you're volunteering in this
yes,
centre?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, most of us feel completely helpless and really want to help and really want to contribute in any way we can. So I came here. I wasn't doing anything anyway, just watching the news.
And the sense that I got from talking to them is they felt that there had been a bit of a sort of gap in support from the government, and so local people had to step in, and that there's quite a strong sense of community here. I mean, every tourist who's benefited from these evacuation centres I spoke to has just had so much praise for the volunteers that they encountered.
The school, she was like, come use our shower. So like me and Chess went. Oh, yeah, we went and showered in their house.
They cooked us like a massive meal.
Yeah.
Because we'd eaten so much that day. But everyone else, we had to be like, I'm so sorry. Like,
yeah.
We're so full.
But like, it was so lovely. So and like, there was a power cut halfway through my shower. So I was just in the strangest house in pitch black. So they came with candles for me to light up the bathroom. Like, I actually cannot like fathom how nice like and generous everyone is, even in like their own crisis.
Yeah.
So
a lot of effort from local people, and everyone who had come into contact with them seemed to have nothing but pretty extreme praise for them and a feeling like their faith in humanity had been restored.
One of the people who's been volunteering is Adonis Hazimahalis. He's in Archangelos in Eastern Rhodes, and he's been delivering supplies to firefighters as well as working in one of the evacuation centres.
We knew that something was wrong on the first 3 days because we didn't have any wind at all. So when we saw that the fire is getting bigger and bigger on those 3 days because we didn't have any proper planes and support from Athens, from other firefighter departments, only the ones that were here and the volunteers, we knew that it's getting worse and worse.
Mm. And so how did it continue to develop?
On the fourth day, with the high winds, it just spread really quick to areas that were close to other villages, because the fire started right in the centre of Rhodes. And because the winds were directly to the north, it really got spread on the where all the evacuation happened on that day. It spread so fast that we didn't have any time to take the information in and realize what's happening. Mm. Everything went so fast, and when the fire spread like through the hotels, it was so fast, and we didn't have time to think that it's going to happen. It wasn't burning like steadily. It was jumping to the front trees like so quick. Like if you have like a fire gun, it was like that. It was like living hell.
And has it been possible to keep in touch with everybody you know across the island?
No, because actually at some point where the fire got critical, we had power cuts every hour. So all the phones on the lines, we didn't have any connection at all. It was scary because we felt and we were alone for the past 4 days. We heard that people need to evacuate. The local people opened the school and tried to figure everything out. And the people brought supplies for people that were coming in. We didn't have any medical equipment, nothing, food, water.
And you've been volunteering, haven't you? Can you tell me about what you've been doing the last few days?
Yeah, I've been trying because for me, I want to go to the fire to try and save something. But when you don't have any training or anything, so dangerous to go to fire that the blaze for 3-4 meters in front of you.
Mm.
And so I try to help, like here in the shelter, to supply the firefighters, the volunteers, water, electrolytes, face mask, gloves, shovels.
Where are you getting all that stuff from?
The local people, they're just getting a hand in the pockets and go buy things and bring it to the school. We're just posting something on Instagram or Facebook. Oh, we need this at the school, bring croissants and snacks for the volunteers and firefighters. And the people would just keep coming for 2 hours, bringing like hundreds of packs of like croissants.
That's amazing, isn't it? When you think that so many people on the island are going through the same situation as well. You know, they could also be in danger, but they're getting out there to help each other and to help the firefighters and to help the tourists. Have you had any assistance from the local government?
To be honest with you, from my point of view here at the village, no. You feel like you've been abandoned, like from the authorities.
Coming up, the tourists can leave Rhodes. What's left behind for the people who live there?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rachel, there were still people flying from the UK to Rhodes this weekend at the same time as other people were being evacuated. Why has that been allowed to happen?
From the travel companies and tour operators' perspectives, a lot of the island was still operational then. But I suppose what's particularly difficult for people who were on package holidays, they really just wanted a call from their tour operators for them to say, look, we know this is happening, we're going to cancel it, you're going to get your money back, and that sort of certainty. Some people hadn't read the news that day, so they didn't know what to expect. So they're kind of dependent on their travel companies keeping them updated. And different people had different experiences, but there definitely was of those we spoke to, a bit of a sense of frustration.
We've had this wedding booked, I think, for we've got 54 guests for about 2 years. We're sort of going to sleep on Sunday night and you know, all prepared to go, and then we got a text from EasyJet to say that our holiday had been cancelled, and we were just obviously devastated. We've spent thousands of pounds, we've had everything engraved with the date. We've got half our guests arrived here last week, so we knew that they were already out here waiting for us. And, you know, and obviously people, if we were to have to reschedule, just wouldn't have been able to afford to come. So it's been, a nightmare.
Yeah, because people would assume that unless their travel operator's telling them otherwise, it's fine to go ahead. Jet2 and TUI, who are two of the biggest travel operators who arrange holidays to Rhodes, have now cancelled all their planned flights, as have EasyJet, and they're now in the process of flying passengers back to the UK. The UK government issued new advice yesterday saying that travellers should check that they have the appropriate insurance before they go to Rhodes. But they're still not advising people against going, are they?
So the UK government didn't put roads on its don't go advice from the Foreign Office, which means that it's harder for people to claim back missed holidays on insurance. So that was quite frustrating for a lot of people. But their rationale was that that a lot of the island was unaffected, and so people should feel like they're able to go ahead with those travel plans. And presumably if all of those have been cancelled, there would have been quite a lot of costs involved for local businesses and also for the airlines and tour operators as well. And ministers have been seeking to assure people that that it's okay to travel to parts of the island. Among those were Michael Gove, who said that he thought it was still safe for tourists to travel to Rhodes in line with the government advice.
Would you go at the moment?
Yes, I'm planning to go to Greece in just over a week's time.
Are you? Are you going to one of these islands?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. And you're not at all worried?
Well, naturally, I want to make sure that as a government that we do everything possible to support Greece and indeed our tourists there. But no, I'm not, no.
Okay. We've talked about how the wildfires are impacting the thousands of tourists on the island, but what about for the people who actually live there?
For the people who actually live there, I mean, they've had a slightly different experience. Apparently, they haven't been in the evacuation centres so much. A lot of people have apparently found space with friends and family. They've also been in slightly different evacuation centres, it seems, to the holidaymakers. But obviously, it's really sad when your holiday is ruined, but it's much, much worse when your house burns to the ground. So there's been some real awful stories that we've encountered out here. We met one man who was kind of looking around the sort of wreckage of his taverna called Angelica.
Not only my restaurant, my house been. I don't have anywhere to sleep. My mom sleep 4 days in the beach.
He said that he had just refurbed it over the winter and it was completely destroyed. He doesn't have insurance. He was expecting only a tiny bit of money from the government.
I think like 10,000. Mm-hmm. Told me 10,000 euros.
From the government to support. He said that some of the regulars had launched a crowdfunder, so I hope that works out for him. But he was just heartbroken, and his uncle was there. I think it was a family business, and he was crying, looking at everything that had been ruined, and not just the restaurant, but his house had burned down, all of his vegetable patches. And he was just like, look at everything he's built. It's now nothing. And he was very frustrated. And this was something that was echoed by quite a lot of the local people that we spoke to, that he felt that the local government and also by extension the Greek government had been very slow to respond to the fires with the kind of level of urgency required, and that there hadn't been enough fire engines, there hadn't been enough propeller planes dumping water, that hadn't happened quickly enough.
What have the Greek government had to say about that? What do they say they've been doing to support the firefighters and the relief effort?
So the Greek government said that it's, you know, carried out a huge safety operation to move residents and tourists. It said it's the biggest operation it's ever carried out in its country. This is Rhodes, but also it applies to the other two islands, Evia and Corfu, as well. So it's been quite a big issue across the country.
Wildfires aren't uncommon in Greece, and in recent years they've become increasingly catastrophic. So the Greek government must have proper plans to deal with them, don't they? I mean, what can they learn from the way in which these wildfires have spread across Rhodes?
Well, certainly among some of the local people we've spoken to, they had a perception that there had been cuts to local fire services and that it took the foreign fire services arriving for things to really get done, and that there had been quite a slow response. So what one volunteer that we spoke to said, that she said the view among, she has friends who work as firefighters on the island, and that their perception was that there was an underestimation of the severity of the fire, that it could have been tackled when it was smaller and before the winds picked up, which made it spread really quickly, and that didn't happen. And because of that delay, that's why it was so destructive.
I cannot speak to the management of the fire, I'm not an expert. all I can tell you is what I hear from my friends that are in the front line. It shouldn't have gotten to this level. I don't know why.
A scientific study into the current heat waves that are spreading across Europe has come out this week by World Weather Attribution. And they've concluded that it would have been virtually impossible for the kinds of temperatures we're seeing to have happened without human-made climate change. How cognizant does the Greek government seem of that? How urgent is the climate crisis to them in making their policy?
So the Greek Prime Minister has said that the Mediterranean is a hotspot for climate change in response to the wildfires. And the Prime Minister commented that there will be a difficult summer ahead. The wildfires are connected to incredibly high temperatures that have been seen across the Mediterranean. It's since I've been in Rhodes, it's been sort of around 35-ish degrees, but it was closer to 40 at the weekend, which is unusually hot. There were 46 degrees in some places as well, not in Rhodes. So the heat waves are a real problem.
Greece relies so heavily on tourism. It makes about 25% of the economy. From the people that you've spoken to, thinking especially about the business owners, how concerned do they feel about the impacts of the wildfires on tourism?
I mean, they're obviously very concerned, those who've lost their businesses. And I think they were worried about the impact on tourism. Although what I will say is that all the tourists I asked, I was like, would you come back to Greece? Because it's an interesting question for an island and a country that's so dependent on tourism. How great a deterrent terrible kind of climate events like this are. And everybody said that they would come back.
And do you think you would holiday in Greece again?
Yes, I think I would. I don't believe it's not the place. We've been here before and we've loved it. So, you know, why wouldn't we come back if there was no fires and things?
Does it make you worried about the impact of climate change because the wildfires are so connected?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Certainly does. But really, what you see is what you get here. Now, this is it. You know, we can't... I can't say it's the best, but they've been treating us really, really well.
Mm-hmm. So. Lovely.
Well, so I guess it's still, in that sense, being seen as a freak event, although obviously the comments from the Prime Minister sort of suggest that there is some acceptance in government that this isn't a freak event.
Rachel, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That was Rachel Hall, who's reporting from Rhodes. You can read at theguardian.com. Thanks to her and to Musarat and Adonis for talking to me. That's it for today. I'm Hannah Moore. This episode was produced by Alex Atak and Rose de Larabiti and sound designed by Rudy Zagadlo. The executive producer was Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.